From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, June 26th. I'm Abby Larico. It's been months since the city of St. Louis pivoted from mapping out a north-south light rail line to making plans for a new bus line instead. But advocates say the challenge is to make city transit work for everyone.
Both people who use the system and additionally to people who would be interested in using the system, but experience a bus system that doesn't work for them.
We'll get up to speed on where the Green Line project stands now and what's yet to be decided. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. The U.S. Supreme Court has overturned a victory for a Missouri man who claimed years of exposure to Roundup caused him to develop cancer. The decision hinged on whether Monsanto, now owned by Bayer, was required to place a warning on the weed-killing product. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum has details.
Missouri courts had decided the company failed in its duty to warn consumers of cancer risks. But the Supreme Court has now ruled that because federal law doesn't require a warning label, state courts can't fault Monsanto for not placing one on the product. Eric Holland is a St. Louis-based lawyer who represents claimants who say they've been harmed by Roundup. He says the decision won't affect the more than $7 billion settlement announced earlier this year.
Monsanto, in their Supreme Court briefing, made clear that they have every intention of and will, in fact, honor the settlement agreement.
Roundup's makers have long disputed claims its active ingredient, called glyphosate, is linked to cancer. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Prediction market Kalshi is suing the state of Illinois over a new tax passed in the state budget. The platform is heavily used for sports betting and other wagering. They're suing Illinois over a tax set to take effect on July 1st that will add a transaction tax on it and other prediction market forums. The lawsuit alleges the tax violates federal law and steps on the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission's exclusive jurisdiction over these platforms. The new law also requires platform operators to obtain a license from the state. Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul's office says it's reviewing Kalshi's complaint. The public library in O'Fallon, Illinois, would like to ask its residents to use $17 million in bonds to construct a new building. As St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports, the Metro East City's council will still need to approve the referendum's language before making it on the November ballot.
In total, the new O'Fallon Public Library building will cost $22.5 million. The library board has $5 million in reserves, but they'd like to cover the rest with a bond. The median household in O'Fallon pays about $130 annually in property taxes to the library. If voters approve the bond, that would increase to about $250. Ryan Johnson is the library's director.
Just like we want good schools, good parks, safe streets, nice roads, this is an investment in our infrastructure that can literally be a community asset for generations to come.
When the current location was built in 1995, O'Fallon had a population of 17,000 people. Now it's more than 32,000. Johnson says the new building would also be in a much better location. In O'Fallon, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
From O'Fallon, Illinois to Mo'Fallon and the surrounding area, St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman says he needs to remain in office to protect policies that have led to steady growth. STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum reports on what could be the longtime countywide official's toughest political battle.
Ellman was originally going to retire after nearly 20 years as county executive, but he chose to get back into the race primarily because he wanted to prevent former state senator Bill Eigel from taking over his post.
Given the people who were running, especially former Senator Eigel, it was necessary for me just to defend everything that my team has been able to accomplish over the last 20 years.
Ellman says he'll continue to work with regional leaders to fight crime and bring in transportation dollars. In addition to Eigel, Ellman is also facing a challenge in the GOP primary from former Lake St. Louis Mayor Jason Law. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Ellman was a guest on Politically Speaking. You can listen to his episode plus conversations with Eigel and Law from earlier this week at stlpr.org or wherever you find podcasts like this one. A familiar face at the St. Louis Zoo is heading south. Bakari, a 21-year-old Western lowland gorilla, is leaving St. Louis after 15 years to join a conservation breeding program in Central Florida. Beccari arrived in St. Louis in 2011 and has spent time in the Jungle of the Apes habitat as part of a bachelor troupe. Now he's getting the chance to lead a family group of his own. The move is part of a nationwide effort to help protect western lowland gorillas, a critically endangered species threatened by habitat loss, poaching, and disease. St. Clair County's Transit District will unveil a 4.5-mile extension of their main bike trail tomorrow morning. The trail runs parallel to the Metrolink rail line. The $6 million extension will mean trail users can continue past Scott Air Force Base almost to Mid-America St. Louis Airport. Ken Sharkey is the managing director of St. Clair County's Transit District.
For people that like to really kind of crank it up and go at a little higher speeds without having to stop at crossings along the way and other roads, this is pretty much a very open stretch.
The total bike trail now runs nearly 20 miles. The Metrolink train line will also soon run all the way to the airport. Sharkey says that it's expected to be open to riders by September. According to 2024 U.S. Census data, high rates of traffic collisions are concentrated in areas that rely on public transit and have limited access to vehicles. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, TrailNet's new report shows that these crashes are in our region's communities of color and low-income neighborhoods.
TrailNet's new State of Our Streets report highlights projects in the area that are improving street infrastructure for pedestrians, cyclists, and transit riders. It recognizes that St. Louis's new mobility plan encourages street safety, and St. Louis County's recent policies to increase walking and biking are a step in the right direction. Eric Helmer authored the report. He says progress is being made, but inequities still exist.
It's been disinvestment in people walking, people being able to be safe in general, but specifically non-drivers. For a long period of time. Let's not just play whack-a-mole and patch over this problem. We want to address the entire system.
Helmer says people should go to regional planning meetings to help leaders improve street safety. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Last fall, St. Louis pivoted from building a light rail line that runs from North City to South City to a bus line instead. This week, the final route for the bus rapid transit Green Line was approved. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Rebecca Thiel explains to our Marissa Ann Lewis Thompson, there's still a long way to go before the city can start work on the project.
What is a bus rapid transit line, and what makes it different from the bus system we have right now?
Basically, it makes buses and riders a top priority on the road. So that means things like dedicated lanes, special stoplights for buses, larger buses that hold more people, and bigger, safer stations. So the main thing is that it cuts down on the amount of time that you're waiting for the bus. Riders I've talked to say they can be waiting anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour right now, and that doesn't really encourage people to take it. Rapid transit buses are supposed to come every 10 to 15 minutes. Public transit advocates are generally in favor of the idea. Here's Noah Goldman. He co-founded a transit riders group as part of St. Louis Urbanists.
What we have to be thinking about is how to maximize the benefit for both people who use the system and additionally to people who would be interested in using the system but experience a bus system that doesn't work for them.
Advocates say it could also encourage more investment in public transit overall and give the city a little bit of an economic boost. Here's CEO of Citizens for Modern Transit, Kim Sella.
This corridor is ripe for transit investment. You have dense neighborhoods on the south side, and you have opportunities for reinvestment on the north side.
So I understand that the East-West Gateway Council of Governments gave that stamp of approval on Wednesday. Where exactly is the route?
It's close to the same route that they had planned for the light rail line, only a little curvier. So it would run up Jefferson Avenue from South City, then curve east a bit closer to the river, passing things like the City Museum, for example, before turning west onto Natural Bridge Avenue.
But just because we have the route, that doesn't mean this is a done deal. The city still needs to fund it, right?
Right. Part of the reason why the city made the change from the light rail line to bus rapid transit is because it would be cheaper and more attractive for federal grants. So we don't have that federal money yet. And there's also a question about whether we can still use the tax dollars saved up for the original light rail project for the match.
Why would that be a problem?
I'm glad you asked. When the city passed a law in 2017 to collect tax dollars for the light rail project, some of the language was specific to the Metrolink. So it's kind of a legal question. Can the city go ahead and spend that $90 million plus dollars on the bus rapid transit Green Line, or do they have to go back to voters and ask their permission again?
How are residents who would live near that bus line, how are they feeling about this?
Well, I haven't talked with everyone along the line, but folks in North City, particularly in neighborhoods like Jeff Vanderloo, have some concerns. Among other things, they say this bus line could actually hurt riders who take other routes. It's no secret that St. Louis has been losing population, and they say having a bus route that can't be flexible just isn't going to work for them. There's also the fear that it could reduce the number of stops, because stopping adds time. When I talked with developers, they say routes could be changed to make them more efficient, but those haven't really been decided yet, and there is time for the public to weigh in. And the federal grant program doesn't allow you to draw resources away from existing routes, so things like buses, drivers, etc. So the devil is really in the details here, and we just don't have those details yet.
So what's the takeaway here?
Most of the people I've talked to want faster buses that get you where you need to go, whether that's within the city or out to the surrounding counties. How we do that and whether this Green Line can be part of that solution, that's where people differ.
That was STLPR's Rebecca Thiel speaking with Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson about the Bus Rapid Transit Green Line in a conversation edited by our Brian Moline. The final route for the line was approved this week. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway. Have a great weekend.